I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. Guys, I just wanted to start off by saying it's good to be back. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a while. So I just went ahead and get that out the way. And also, I want to give a shout out to my alma mater, SC State. We just celebrated our homecoming, and our football team looks spectacular. They're going to have possibly the MEAC championship. The two best teams in the MEAC are us and North Carolina Central. And North Carolina Central is coming to the Bulldogs, the Dog House, to play on Thursday night. The winner of that game is probably going to the Celebration Bowl to play for the Black National College Football Championship. So I want to give out to my Bulldogs. Continue to do the work. Continue to be great. Continue to be 1-0 every single week. And let's beat the Eagles. I think we can do it, guys. No one expected us to be as good as we are this year, you know, with the new coach in Chinnisberry coming from Benedict College. And he came with some great, with the quarterback, Eric Phoenix, who was at Benedict but then transferred to Murray State. And now he's at SC State. And now he's looking, he is the leading passer in the MEAC right now. I mean, I've seen him play a couple of times, and I must say, he is electric to watch. He went 18 for 21 for 371 yards and 4 touchdowns this past weekend against Delaware State. I mean, he has been on the money. It's exciting to play. The offense that SC State is running, it's exciting to watch. As someone who has been a part of South Carolina State since I've been little. I mean, my mom graduated in 99. I was born in 2000. And I've just always been at South Carolina State home games and just being a Bulldog, you know? But I must say, this is the most exciting offense I think that I've seen since I've been around the game a little bit more. I pay attention a little bit more now. And the offense have just been electric. I mean, they scored 69 points against Delaware State. That's the most since 2011. So I can only imagine what this offense is going to look like 2 to 3 years when Coach Berry gets one or two recruiting classes, and he's recruiting the players that he wants specifically. So it's going to be really nice to see how SC State offense continue to grow from there. And hopefully they go out and they be 1-0 on Thursday and then possibly finish out the rest of the season with no losses. And then we're going to Atlanta, and you guys are going to want to stay tuned because I will be doing the show about that. Okay. I'm a Bulldog at heart. All right, now let's get into the NFL. You know how we do. We're going to start with our biggest winners and our biggest losers, okay? And we're going to start with the losers. And the losers are going to go to the New York Jets. I don't know what more they can do, okay? This was a team that everyone said with the defense that they had, with the defensive coordinator that they had, that they were only, everyone has said this, that they were only a quarterback away. I mean, don't get me wrong. I felt like Zach Wilson definitely was not the answer. But I know for certain that Aaron Rodgers wasn't the answer because, I mean, this is a 35-plus quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. Like, it's only but so much he can do. And they went out, they get Devontae Adams, who is a dynamic receiver. I mean, he's Mr. Touchdown, if we want to be honest. And he reunited with Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, they have Garrett Wilson on the other side. They have a great running back, but for some reason they can't put the pieces together. I mean, on paper they have a terrific roster, but when we watch them play, it's unfathomable that they can't put the pieces together. It's like, you guys are professionals. You're coached by professionals. You fire your coach. You demoted your coordinator, and you still can't get it right. What's the problem? Is it things in the locker room that are not being addressed? Is it, honestly, I don't know what it could possibly be, but they need to figure it out. I mean, they have zero margin of error going forward for the second half of the season. I mean, you're 2-6 right now, bottom of division. You're going to have to win out if you want to hope to even sniff the playoffs. But I mean, their schedule doesn't necessarily get any easier, but it doesn't necessarily get any harder. So it could really be 50-50. It's really up in the air about how they could possibly finish out the season. But going into the season, this was supposed to be a team that we were supposed to watch for. And that has not been the case. That has not been the case at all. Also, another biggest loser, I mean, the Carolina Panthers. And the reason why I say they're the biggest losers is because you told us, well, not even the Panthers, but the fans, you guys said that Bryce Young was the problem. Andy Dalton gets the first start. He wins the game. Now, we told you Bryce Young is the problem. But then we go on to lose the next four games. And Andy Dalton can't stop throwing the ball to the other team. So when I said, I'm not saying that I'm right, but I'm saying that I'm right. The organization is trash. The organization is trash. No one is going to succeed in that organization because the organization is trash. David Tepper is not a good owner. He's not. We have progressively gotten worse and worse and worse since he's bought the team. I don't think the Carolina Panthers are going to be a successful team until David Tepper decides that he wants to sell. And he's doing this he doesn't just own the Carolina Panthers. He owns other organizations, and all those organizations are suffering too. He needs to get out of there, okay? He has not made one right decision. And today we just traded Deontay Johnson to the Ravens, and we still pay him his contract. We're not getting any more picks than what we've already had. We're actually going to basically lose a fifth rounder and go back one. Well, we're only going to gain one. We're going to go from the sixth round to the fifth round. And we're still paying him his $3 million salary. That's horrible negotiation tactics. I think right now, the only thing that the Carolina Panthers can do to try to even, we can't salvage the season. The season is done. But what we can do is we have a young core. I'm going to stick beside him. We stick with Bryce Young, okay? We have two solid wide receivers that I think are going to be really, really great, and they're both rookies. We have one in Coker, and we have one in Xavier Leggett. I think those three people, plus Chuba Hubbard, and if Jonathan Brooks, when he gets back fully healthy, I think he's going to be a really solid running back in the NFL. Okay, so Hubbard is a little bit older, so I'll take him out of the equation. Okay, but we have Jonathan Brooks, Jalen Coker, Xavier Leggett, and I think you should definitely stick it out with Bryce Young. And you build around those four. And then on the defensive side, all we really have is Horn. I mean, we have a few others, but they're injured. But Horn being healthy and seeing what he can do, those are our five solid players, and that we need to build our team around them. That is how we're going to succeed. Okay? That's the only possible way to succeed. We don't draft well. We definitely don't pick up free agents very well. So we're going to, with the people that we do have, the few picks that we have gotten right, I think we should definitely stick it out. We're not going to be a winning team possibly for another 3 to 4 years. But if you stick with those guys and you build those guys and you stop firing coaches like you're changing underwear, we might have something. It takes time to build. You have to give him time to build. Okay. Now, on to our winners. I'm going to give it to Mike Tomlin, okay? Now, I was very much hesitant when I saw that they were going to bench Justin Fields and start Russell Wilson. Now, my hesitation was just from the fact that you have a quarterback that just went 4-2, who possibly should have gone 5-1. They should have beat the Cowboys. And then you bench him for a guy who hasn't played in almost a year. It had been 10 to 11 months that Russ has not played in the game. And I was just a little skeptical about that. I thought that maybe it wasn't the right move just yet. I mean, Justin Fields, he didn't play bad, but he wasn't sensational either. I mean, he accounted for 10 touchdowns, one interception. But it wasn't like watching him play, it didn't give that superstar or – great quarterback, but he has grown from how he has played in Chicago to his first six games with the Steelers. He has definitely grown. He has definitely matured, and he's definitely a better quarterback with the Steelers than he was with the Bears. But I was just a little skeptical why Mike Tomlin would do that. But I get it. When you sign Russ first, you sign Russ and you're telling him that he's QB1. And then the next day you go and you sign Justin Fields. If I'm Russell, I'm kind of shaking my head at that too, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But you made it clear that he's number one. And when he first got into the game against the Jets, it was a little, the fans were booing. He was missing easy passes. Like he didn't look himself. But again, he hadn't played in 11 months. But once he warmed up, and I think he warmed up when he hit the tight end outside the pocket, tight end ran it for about 15, 16 yards. After that, he settled in nicely. And I got to give my hats to Mike Tomlin. You made the right call. What Russ is going to be able to do is open the offense up. You have, even though your offensive line is hurt, you have figured out the pieces to put together offensive line, and they are moving people. You have one of the, possibly besides Derrick Henry, the Bama boys, one of the strongest running backs in Najee Harris. He's not necessarily the fastest, but he's strong. And you're able to, where he's no longer getting hit behind the line and you're just happy that he made it back to the line of scrimmage, you're not doing that anymore. So your running game is now setting up for the deep ball. Justin Fields has a problem with deep balls. Sometimes his deep balls are more line drives, and if he would just put a little more air under them, it would be great. And he just hasn't learned how to do that consistently yet. Like I said, he does it sometimes, but it's not on a consistent basis. And that's what the Steelers were missing. They were missing the vertical threats, the deep balls. And Russell Wilson does that very well. Okay, the moon ball. And I know people are saying, yeah, but he's throwing them short. They're not falling out. Like he's not leading his wide receiver to the ball. The wide receivers are necessarily coming back. Even though the wide receivers are having to come back to the ball because the ball are being a little short, they're still accurate. I mean, he's putting them in the bucket. And with wide receivers like, especially George Pickens, oh, that's perfect for him. I mean, the 50-50 ball, if George Pickens doesn't come down with it, I'm going to be more surprised if he drops it than he doesn't come down with it. But Russ's ability to throw the ball 40 to 50 yards deep and to just drop it in the bucket is exactly what the Steelers need, okay? That's exactly what they needed for their offense to no longer be one-dimensional or no longer do dink and dump passes. Now they are a true vertical threat. Okay, now I do think you guys need to go out and still get a solid number two wide receiver. Okay, just to establish some things. Okay, but the Steelers are going to be a team to watch for. But we're really going to see what they're made of when they get into this after this bye week and they go into the second half of their schedule, and it's basically nothing but divisional games. So you got the Browns twice, you got the Bengals twice, you got the Ravens twice. It's going to be very tough. But you're 6-2 going into bye. You're going to get some offensive linemen back. You're going to get some cornerbacks. Like, you're going to get depth back from the Steelers. So they're going to be a team to watch. Okay. And I mean, Mike Tomlin is a great coach. I mean, the guy is a great coach. I know he only has one Super Bowl, but the guy has 17 winning seasons, and he has a very good chance of making it 18 winning seasons. Okay. And I think they can definitely win a playoff game this year. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're even going to win their division. But I think that they're on an 0-5 playoff record right now. I think they're going to get their first playoff win this year in the last 5 years. Okay? And it's been a lot of good in the NFL. Like I've witnessed a lot of good games. I've seen a lot of good competition. But the Steelers were really the team that just really stood out to me, and they look great. And I mean, of course, another biggest winner will be the Chiefs. And that's because you go out and you get DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't understand why the Titans will give Patrick Mahomes DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like the rest is 32 teams in the NFL. 31 of the teams, you all have one common enemy, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs, and that is Patrick Mahomes. So why would one of you 31 give him a great target? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins do not drop pass. He don't drop passes. The guy doesn't drop passes, and you're giving him, and he is a great wide receiver when it comes to broken plays, and you got to just tell the quarterback that you're open, and you're giving this guy to Patrick Mahomes. I think that is just downright unfair. That is downright unfair, okay? But it's going to be exciting to watch, and it's really hard to three-peat in the NFL, but God dang it, the Chiefs are making it look easy and possible for them to do it this year. And if it's not them, I think it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. But that's a topic for another day. I'm not going to get into that all right now, okay? And college football, it's been entertaining. A lot of teams have been getting beat, teams that we didn't think that were going to be getting beat like this. They've been getting beat. And we're getting down to crunch time. We're getting down to crunch time in college football. And these last four games, oh, you better be glued and watched and stuck to your TV on Saturdays, because it's going to be great. And I can't wait. And next week, I'll talk more about winners and losers. But like I said, this weekend, I had to get up for the Bulldogs, okay? So I didn't watch as much college football as I should have. That's why I'm not talking about it as much, okay? But I'm giving you guys full transparency here, okay? I had to get up for the Bulldogs. But and we all know the World Series is going on, and it's the Dodgers and it's the Yankees. And I'm a Yankees fan, and I am highly disappointed in how we have performed. I mean, besides Soto and Stanton, nobody else has showed up for the Yankees. And if they don't win tonight, then they've been swept by the Dodgers. So I hope we don't get swept. You know, have a little bit of dignity. Okay? Okay, Yankees, I need y'all to go out there and play the best game y'all have ever played. I need 9 home runs from 9 different players, because, I mean, come on. Can't get swept. Please don't get swept in the World Series. That's all I ask. Just please don't get swept in the World Series. Okay? But once again, I am Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective, and I look forward to seeing you guys back next week. And next week, we will have a guest, okay? So be prepared for that. And also, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. I'm on YouTube, as well as make sure you follow, like, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify Podcasts. See you guys next week.